Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Hey everybody, and welcome to an episode of Smash Cuts. I'm Rich Caban. With me is Jacqueline Himmick.
Hello.
And David Maldonado.
Hello as well.
And I am Rich Caban. Yeah, there's been so much going on, right? Like, it's been, I think, I'm trying to remember if we spoke about Spider-Man last time we were on.
I think it's been home. Because I remember listening to it. I think you guys talked about it. But I think we did. I think I wasn't on that one, but yeah. You guys talked about it. I liked it too. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody's listening, like, one after the other.
Well, but what did Dave think?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I saw the Reddit post. I was like, they were like, why isn't Dave talking about it?
Yeah, they were outside. Is any comment on what Dave thinks of Spider-Man? No, no comment right now, please.
No comment.
Yeah, and it's out on Amazon right now, too, to watch. Yeah. So I haven't watched it again since it's been available.
It's we've been apart for so long on this that Spider-Man left the MCU and came back to the MCU.
I know.
In between that time.
It's true. I'm actually really interested in reading what the agreement was that they came to, because I did think it was interesting that everybody was initially really getting huffy about Sony, and then it kind of came out like, wait, Disney's actually the one that sounds like they're being harsh in what they want in their deal. And so I'm very curious to see what agreement they came to.
I think I read something about it, like a brief thing. I think it's like 25%. I think Disney gets like 25% on the next movie, and they help produce it.
And they're only doing two more together, because they got one MCU movie and then one Sony movie that Kevin Feige is going to co-produce. Right. So, it's funny because watching the second one now home, the kids love it. So we've watched it quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And I even felt this way on the first one too. There are sections that are really good, and then there's sections that remind me of the ones with what's his name, the when they replaced Tobey Maguire.
Oh, Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, yeah.
Yeah, like there's certain not even sections. There's just certain moments that I feel the difference between the Sony and the MCU. Do you know what I mean? Like it's there. It's very subtle, but it's there, and you definitely notice it. Like, you can tell you're not in a Marvel movie in a weird way. I don't know if that makes any sense. Even when you see even though Nick Fury wasn't playing Nick Fury, he still didn't seem completely like him, or even Tony Stark. It didn't seem – there was just something a little different about him in Spider-Man than there is in the Iron Man or Avenger movies. And I can never put my finger on it, but there's just something that's not as connected. I don't know what it is, but I mean, it could be a creative thing, because it just – it's – you're going to a different studio. You're going to a different location. Like, it's not – as seamless as it may seem.
Visually, I think I can gel with that, because I think also, like, if you look at the MCU movies, there's like this particular color palette that they use for the films. Mm-hmm. It's like an orangey, like almost tint, like a, not orangey, but like a
bluish.
Chrome and blue, like a chrome. Yeah. It's like a gold. There's like a golden color that's like a wash over everything. And then there's like
it's more of a mauve. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that visually they it's true, but it looks that visually there are differences, and then also pacing wise and editing wise too. There's differences, but also maybe musical choices, just overall vibe. I can get that. Like Venom doesn't feel like a part of the whole MCU. I watched that movie and like there were things. I don't know if I ever talked about Venom. I finally got to watch it, and it's like there were things I really liked about it. Maybe I did talk about it. But I liked the character of Venom, and I liked the two of them and their interplay. I just wish they were in a better movie. I think that's what I said.
It's definitely one of those movies that I expected to not like, and was pleasantly surprised. I still have a lot of things that I don't like about it, but
right.
It was so enjoyable that even though I haven't watched again since the theater, I would be fine
mm-hmm.
if somebody was like, hey, come over and watch Venom. I'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't purchased
it.
I've owned it for
a year, and I haven't ever gotten around watching it, which is so
yeah,
fun.
Oh, my gosh. You do that with digital movies, too? I thought it was only physical copies back in the day.
No,
it's like a whole digital shelf.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Yeah,
can you believe that? Like Black Klansman, I finally got to watch it, which is really good.
Oh, that was so good.
But it was already like it might as well have been on TBS. Like I waited so long.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but still great.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Yeah, it was a really good movie. But but there's also something too. So going on that same vein of what Dave's tapping into is the color for the Sony movies are always brighter, it's an oddly much brighter movie, and it. And I think you notice it if you do like I watched, Avengers, the last two Avenger movies. Then I jumped into Far From Home and that's when you notice it, you notice it.
Now,
like,
see, what's
right
funny
there.
For me is when you say that too, though, I feel like it makes me want to go back and watch Homecoming because Homecoming, I didn't necessarily feel that in. I was thinking that the color shift was more the Far From Home theme where it was. It was visually different because he was in a foreign place,
right.
Which might not necessarily be where they were going, but it's how I interpreted it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely is a brighter for that reason too. But I even noticed it even the first time around. Like it's not a bad thing. There's something very odd. I guess there's never been anything like this. Before.
Like kind of like the way Ghostbusters, the newer Ghostbusters look. Is that what you're trying to say? Like that?
Yeah.
That really sharp HD, really bright and colorful and very saturated. Yeah. Maybe the colors are very saturated.
It is made for like The Wiz to walk into The Wiz and it's not a bad thing. It's just it's just
made for The Wiz. Like people are gonna know that.
Know.
It's like what the movie, the store, what?
Yeah,
what?
The Wiz.
But honestly, I'm still okay with them having the differentiation in style mm-hmm. and color. With it being a Sony thing, I think that it was a really good blend, and I don't mind that they're still putting their own spin on it because otherwise.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes,
like
it still
identity.
Fits. It, like, mm-hmm. it would be weird if it didn't fit, if it was,
right.
like, so off-kilter.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
This isn't seamless. But no, I don't know. I think it's a non-issue. It's there, but it's not, know, I think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it turns into a Rob Zombie.
What do you think the villains are going to be for next time? Because we had that weird Woody Harrelson clip with, is that who plays Carnage?
Yeah,
like,
I think
is
so.
That or something?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what
yeah,
else,
I think he's
what
Carnage.
Else we're gonna see in the next ones. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In Venom, he's Carnage.
Yeah, there's a spoiler. There's supposed.
Oh.
Hey. I didn't even watch the end. I didn't even watch the.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you
apparently
know.
There's an after credits thing, and they hint at Carnage coming
weird.
Or some shit. So.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird.
Speaking of Marvel stuff, I finally got to see Captain Marvel.
Oh my gosh, you hadn't seen that yet?
I hadn't. I saw it. I didn't see it until after Infinity, the Endgame. So, Avengers Endgame. So yeah, I finally got to watch it. It was a day I was by myself at home and I was like, you know what? It's on Apple TV. It's going to be a bright, colorful, loud movie. Let's watch it. And I enjoyed it.
What do you think?
Really good. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. My only problems, my usual problems, my musical choices
songs, very hard.
It gets me mad. Well, not mad, but it's just I get what they're doing because Guardians of the Galaxy was such a success for them. They're like, man, we can just
right.
put all
yeah,
these
yeah.
cool. We have all the money. Let's just let's put whatever song we can at any moment.
Right.
You know, like they did it in Thor.
And it's like
Led
technically
Zeppelin.
Yes, all those movies were very indicative of the 90s, or all those
right.
songs that they chose. Like I get
right.
why they chose them,
right.
but man, were they
it
the
just
wrong
felt a little
choices?
Shoehorn. Yeah, it was
oh,
a shoehorn, and
oh, it was
yeah,
so bad. Yeah,
come
I
as
really
you
didn't
are,
like it.
And I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
It's like those.
I'm
like,
just a girl.
Oh,
one was the worst, but even
it's
the
like
water
it
reminds
like
the
power that she was blowing.
Yeah.
You know, the whole movie. It's like she's becoming her own thing. This is a good character, Elizabeth. And then they kind of
made
like,
it cheap.
It makes it look too cheap and light. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
that's not. You know, and
honestly, the score was good. If they had just kept with that great instrumental score during some of those scenes, they didn't have to shoehorn in the soundtrack, or they could have just made, you know, better choices.
Yeah, it's
like somebody
I don't know what those choices would be, but
somebody did a word search. They're like, let's see, type in girl. Type in woman.
Right.
Type in,
I feel like it was an office poll. You know what
I mean?
Yeah. Like,
definitely. And it's just like, come on. It's like, you guys had me. You know, you guys, don't take me out. Don't take me out of this situation.
Which is funny, too, because, I mean, I grew up in the 90s. I have a lot of nostalgia for that stuff. But honestly, none of that stuff is actually what I listen to. You know what I mean? And it's almost like you kind of call back to those songs and you're cringing. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember.
Surprising, you know, she wasn't like, anybody want a Go-Gurt or something? Or like, they just didn't
and stuff.
You know,
no,
do you have any green slime ecto drink? Let's do that. Throwing it all
you know,
in
it's funny,
Turtles.
Too, because she's actually Xavier's favorite superhero.
Because
he loves
her.
So
adorable. She's pretty cool. She's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's badass.
He this morning he woke up wanting to see that. There are two movies that he constantly wants in rotation sometimes. That one and Solo is the other one. Like, he loves.
Really? That's surprising.
The Solo movie. Yeah.
You know what?
He loved it.
I really like the Solo movie too. To be honest with you.
No, I do too,
like,
but he's so young.
Crazy?
No, go ahead.
I love that movie.
I guess there is a lot of action in it, but to me it almost. Even though there is a lot of action in it, when I'm recalling it, I have an emotional recall of, like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, like, it didn't feel like that action-y in my memory, but, you know, when I think about it, there is. It just seems like, because how old is Xavier now? He's 5?
He's going to be 6,
three,
but when we saw it, when we saw it in the movies, though, he was, he had he turned 5 yet? I don't even think he had turned 5. Mm.
And he was into
it
in 4. The theater?
Oh, my God. He sat there. Tony was still amazed at this. He sat there, like, completely mesmerized.
I wonder
movie.
If that's
you
part
know,
of it, is that he has this emotional connection to it because he experienced it in the theater, and it's one of the first movies probably along those lines, maybe, unless you would take him to some animated stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, he saw animated stuff.
I remember stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, my first big boy movie. You know what I mean? Like,
You know, he had seen animated stuff, but this was like the first adult movie, I think, in a way.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, it was me, Tony, and Xavier, and we saw it in IMAX. Like, we did it was the Han Solo fan event that night.
That's pretty cool.
So, but he loved that one. Like, it's funny because he'll watch that one more than he'll watch any of the new ones. And in a weird way, like, I like the new ones, but Solo, there's something about it that just really taps into the old-fashioned version of Star Wars in a way.
Yeah, it was a fun adventure. You know? I dug it, and I enjoyed. I actually ended up wanting more. I liked the way the movie looked. I had a good time with the music and the sense of adventure. I mean, it wasn't I guess because people were shitting on it so much, I was like, all right, let me just go into this and see if I'm not gonna shit on it. Let me just go with an open mind and see what's going on with this movie, and I ended up liking it. I liked it more than Last Jedi. It's not even like I'm trying to shit on Last Jedi either. It just there was a better. I just felt like it was a fun.
No, it's more accessible.
Adventure.
It's more accessible.
Fun. There was a fun, like, aloof attitude towards it. There was some great moments with him and Chewie, and you know, that whole just. Flying around in the Millennium Falcon, just all that stuff. I thought it was cool.
Like, it felt very genuine. Like, I never felt like I was watching something that I couldn't buy. Like, I actually watched this movie and I could believe that this happened. Like, even to the prequels, I love the prequels, but at the same time, they feel like a product of their time, like the 2000s kind of, and it's made after the fact. Like, I don't believe that those happened before Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
right.
But with Solo, I could actually believe that it happened before. Yeah. Like, it actually feels very authentic. You know, it's interesting.
I'm really
in
interested
way.
To see if they do anything with, you know, more of those, or if that was just maybe not didn't make enough money.
I think it was a bit of a stumble. I think it was a bit of a stumble.
Yeah, which is sad because honestly, they did set up an interesting storyline. I want to see what Daenerys, you know, Sith.
Well, I think
Targaryen.
Yeah,
doing.
I know. Yeah, I think they're going to continue
that in the... I
thought
she was good
in the
part. She felt like she felt fit in. I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked the characters. I was just like, I wanted more. I really liked... There was a part in the beginning which I thought was cool and made me feel like you were saying it felt like the old movies. Is there was some... He was being talked to by one of those bounty hunters, and the bounty hunter was just talking in a different language. And it just felt like the old movies. It was just like...
Yeah, yeah.
The cadence of the voice and the way they, you know, manipulated it. It wasn't some cheesy star. It was just cool. I'm like, ooh, I'm getting like, you know, the same feeling I did when I was a kid. You know, and it's kind of like when I stepped onto the Millennium Falcon at a Millennium Falcon at the Galaxy Edge. Yeah. Which is
the,
like,
I know I brought
this
up on the...
I think they're going to continue it in Kenobi, though. That's the one thing that is cool, because you're going to have a Darth Maul, that whole Darth Maul section. So so there's been some rumors that that storyline will continue. I never understood why people hated it so much. Like, people just kind of were, I think they just didn't feel like watching a Star Wars movie again, only 6 months later. And I remember the advertising even too, because I was surprised it was coming out in summer. I thought it was going to be like the following Christmas, you know what I mean? And then when I heard it was like a month before it was coming out in May, I was like, oh, really? I thought that was next year. Okay. You know, but I think it was just, it was like bad marketing, bad, you know, bad word of mouth from everything that had happened.
Well,
with
I know
Henry
I
had
brought
it.
This up when we talked about it initially when it was new, but I still remember this feeling and still hold, I think it still holds true, is that Woody Harrelson, I think that did great in the role. It's not that he performed it badly or anything, but it is, he's become one of those actors that kind of plays himself. And so it really took me out of the world. So it's nothing against him whatsoever. It's kind of unfortunate sometimes when people do get to that status where you're just like, you know, and he had just played that kind of mentor role, you know, in something else.
Yeah. Hunger
and so
Games.
It just, it really did kind of feel like,
it's
man,
a cool
I wish
character,
that, that role
that's
had,
a really
had
cool
yeah, thing. It is a cool character. And that's
just
the thing
him. Yeah.
That's
just
tough.
Him. Yeah.
And so I do wish that somebody else had gotten that part. And again, I have nothing against him, even though I've never been particularly like, oh, he's my favorite actor or anything like that.
It's
just he's him, you know?
He's
him. Every you can cast him in anything you want, but unless you put a shit ton of prosthetics and an accent, I really don't know that you can
see. You know what was really good in that movie? I thought what's his name? Vision. What's the actor's name? I can't think of it.
Paul Bellamy.
But yeah, I loved his bad guy because it was just so interesting. Just like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, he was different.
Do you need any help? Okay, you sure? Okay, I don't have to kill you, do I? You know, like that kind of.
Yeah.
It was so subtle. Like he was so nice, but then he was such an a-hole at the same time.
And I like his design too. That subtle design where he had those kind of like red slashes that were kind of. Become inflamed when he was angry. Yeah. I mean, it's very like different and kind of subtle, not over the top, but still alien in a way. I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he was cool. No, I've seen that movie. Like I said, I probably watched that movie more than Last Jedi only because, you know, it seems it's on constant repeat over here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know I like backwards and forwards. But speaking of, so Spidey's back in the Spideyverse, and which I really was concerned because I felt like they set up a lot of things, and I wanted to at least have them finish it off.
Right.
And even if it ends with everything, with just doing what they did with the Ultimate Universe, where they just Spidey goes into a multiverse, and then he's out of the MCU at least. But at least it'll be something; it'll be finished. You know what I mean? It won't feel like they can't talk about, you know, he who shouldn't be named anymore in both movies. You know, so. Now you guys have probably seen, I haven't, the last movie that I saw, I don't even remember what the last movie I saw.
I wrote some down.
In the theater,
I was like,
or at
make
home.
Sure.
Like...
In the theater, yeah. In the theater. I can't even remember what the last thing that came out that sent me to a theater to go see it.
Right. The last thing I did
chapter
was.
Chapter 2 was the last thing I saw.
Yeah, Chapter 2, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how was that? I finally saw the first one. How was the second one?
I'll let Jackie talk first.
Okay. I had not read the book, and honestly, I didn't remember the old thing because when I was at an age where I was super scared by scary stuff when I was little, so much so that I couldn't even watch Legend that fantasy movie with Tom Cruise, because in the very opening scene, the Green Goblin Blix was so disgusting and scary to me that I would have nightmares. And I, and now I love it, and it's so cheesy to me, you know, whatever. But anyway, Pennywise as a little kid, when I hadn't even seen the story, was terrifying, you know, and was also the same actor that played, you know, Darkness in Legend, so that's funny. Tim Curry for the win. So that being out of the way, I haven't read the book. I didn't remember ever seeing the original. I liked this one. I liked the part one first, like, better. This one I felt like was really good. I definitely think that there were things that they could have trimmed. The pacing was a little tough in the first half of the film. Not that it was, you know, like, I get what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like, there was character growth there. There were introductions there, reintroductions. And there were some really cool scenes in there. But for the most part, the second half of the film was the most fulfilling. And there were some things in there that I know got a lot of flack, especially the intro of the film. I don't think this is spoiling any plot points, but the intro of the film starts with a gay couple at a fair who are brutally attacked, and apparently this was also in the book, and so a lot of people in the public were really offended by this, saying it was promoting, you know, violence against LGBTQ members of society, and this, that, and the other. And honestly, I didn't get that. I will say, in those first 5 minutes of the film, I was horrified, not terrified. I was horrified because it is still so relevant. You see in the news every day about violence against members of the transsexual community, the gay community, lesbian community, anything. There's always that presence in the media. So I can see why people are upset and riled up, but I did not take it as a call to action against gays. You know what I mean? Feel like it was
the
just
guys who are doing
a
it
horrifying
are
thing that happened. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'll put my 2 cents in there, but overall I did like it. There were definitely some things that I felt like were a little, you know, unnecessary or extra, or like just kind of made the movie drag a bit, but second half for the win for sure.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dave?
It's good. There are really great moments in the movie, and there's some cool, like the acting is really good, and there's some great, you know, truly terrifying moments. There's a really great moment underneath bleachers with it and a little girl, which was, that was a really cool scene. But there's all kinds of really good things that are happening. The problem is that it's just really way too long.
Yeah.
I think what it will benefit from is I heard that they're planning on doing it too. I would love to see a supercut where they make it like the book. Because the book is, you know, a chapter in the past, a chapter in the present. So the stories happen in tandem, and it kind of resonates a little bit. So I think that would be cool to see it happen that way in like some 6-hour miniseries or whatever. That would be really neat, or 5.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if they could do that with The Hateful Eight, right? Like, they could make a miniseries out
Right.
of it.
Right, right. So I would love to see it that way, because this one, it feels just long. But it is worth seeing, only because, again, there's some great – there's some really cool moments, especially to see them in the theater and to, you know, with all the great sound and all that other stuff. But, and there's, some of the acting is fun. There's some funny moments and things, but there is, again, there's a moment in the movie that, Richie, you'll see it as soon as it happens. There's a musical cue used to elicit a weird response. And I'm just like, what the f-? It completely takes you out of the movie. I'm not the only person that said it. So it's like, you know, it's pretty ridiculous what happens. But so when Richie finally sees it, he'll know. Just like he called out when I would walk out of Batman Forever. So
Batman and Robin. Yeah.
Oh, it was it Batman and Robin? That was the one. Yeah, you're like, Dave,
yeah, the
a moment
credit
in this
card.
Film, you're gonna get up and walk out. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it happened, and I got up and walked out, and he didn't even mention it. He was like, here
oh
it comes.
My God.
It was just happened. I was like,
That was a scarring moment for me. Also, because, you know, I had one of the worst
parts
about that
too. Tell the audience what the moment is, because they might
remember. I'll tell the moment now. I'll give you this setup. So I was going on a date with somebody. I finally convinced them. They had no interest in Batman whatsoever. I finally convinced them see this Batman movie, right? So all I remember thinking, when that moment happened, I literally put my head down. Like, I put my head in my hand, and I remember asking, you have a headache? I'm like, yeah. I got a really bad headache. And I couldn't, because it was, that was the most, Batman is in an auction, and he and Robin get into this battle where, because they have the Poison Ivy love potion thing happening, they both are fighting over auctioning for her in this charity event. And so Robin says, I'll borrow $2 million from you. And then Bruce Wayne, Batman pulls out his Bat credit card and
the credit card says Batman forever. And he says, yeah, never, says leave Batman forever. Yeah. Never leave home without it. Never leave home without it.
Something actually says it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God. Why?
I was so, that was mortifying. That was, I might as well have, I would have been more comfortable if I walked out in my underwear.
But did the date understand that this was not what you were expecting, or was she this is Batman?
No, it was, this is what she expected it to be. This, oh, of course it was this, because this is what she, so yeah, no, that was bad.
It's a great date. I remember being so mad at that movie. I remember being so mad because I love the Tim Burton ones coming up. And I've loved Batman, you know, like I still have those composition notebooks, you know, the little black and white marbled ones that everybody in the 80s had, you know, like that we would have to write in for school every day. I had pages and pages upon Batman, the TV show with Adam West. I would draw him constantly, kind of in his little bubble, you know, shape of that. You can hardly tell what it is, but I knew it's Batman and the bat symbol was everywhere. And I loved the Tim Burton stuff, and then, you know, the Joel Schumacher. Oh my God. It was so horrifying because I finally got Batman product was out for sale, and it was all this cheesy neon shit. And I just remember being so angry that finally there was Batman stuff that I had access to, because back in the day, it's not like today where superhero merchandise is everywhere.
Authentic. You get these really articulate fucking, Frank Miller. Frank Miller's Batman in a bust.
That was not the case. Nope. I had like the old school, you know, Hall of Justice with the Batman where you squeeze his legs and his arms go a different way. You know what I mean?
That was
the extent of the collectibles I had back then. And then I remember I even got some of it. I still have some of the, well, I might have gotten rid of some of it, but I still have a lot of memorabilia from that time too, just because I was so excited to be like, well, it's Batman stuff, so I have to get it because it's not going to be here anymore, and it's going to go away, and I'll never get Batman stuff ever again. Little did I know, I actually had to cut myself off, you know, because I'm like, oh my God, there's so much Batman stuff. But anyway,
I know.
I think we've really gone down a rabbit hole here, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
People are like, what is Batman, a solo? What's all, what year
I don't
is
know
this?
How we got here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But this is called Smash Cut, so we deserve the right.
I did think it was funny though when Dave said, and then when it was in the tunnel, remind me of like when people say, you remember when Die Hard was running on the building?
I still do it to this day. You remember when Lethal Weapon was running? Yeah.
Oh my God. So great.
So. But Jackie and I got to meet up this summer, and we actually did a VR ride, which we hadn't talked about at all.
Awesome.
We did the Jurassic Park VR.
Oh, neat.
Oh, it's so good.
Awesome. Awesome. What happens in the Jurassic Park VR?
So you have four seats, and it was just us two. So we were sitting in the middle, and they had a little problem with it. So luckily they gave us like free rides and stuff, which was cool because it took them a minute to sort it out. But you're basically strapped in, and you get the scenario is you get helicoptered into these little Humvees, and you have to go around. And even though you have a little trigger finger that you're shooting the dinosaurs, you're not hurting them. You're scanning them. You're scanning their location for pickup. So it's you still get the same gameplay that you're used to without being violent against the dinosaurs, which I really appreciated.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was amazing was just being able to looking around, like even behind you up, you know, like the one thing that, and it, they gave us, we did two rides, it was this one in Star Trek, In this one, though, when I looked to my left where Jackie was sitting, there was nobody there. It was just like the glowy, the stick was just floating on its own.
Yeah, you could see the remote.
But what was weird in the Star Trek one was because I even said, Jackie, look at me. Because I looked over at her and she was a Starfleet officer. Like she was.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and I forgot to ask you, was I a male or a female?
You were a male.
Oh, okay.
Was I a male or a female?
No, you were a female, which is kind of weird, too.
Oh, that is kind of weird. Not like we didn't input our sex when we sat down.
Yeah, that's just luck.
But, yeah, it was just, but the Jurassic Park one, Dave, there were moments there that you, because they did the, I don't know if it was just me imagining, but I felt like there was like some wind effects at some point.
Okay.
And,
It did kind of feel like that, and I mean, sometimes you don't know. Yeah. Like, maybe you are imagining it, but
maybe one of the handlers is sitting there breathing on. Hey, this is the part where the wind comes blowing his face.
Oh, but it was so good, though. Honestly, 100% recommend the Jurassic Park one. It was so much fun. It was beautiful. It was very seamless, and like you really did feel like you were driving. You felt like you were driving stuff, and not in a jolty like. Cheesy way, but in a like, oh my god. And then there's a point where it seems like you're gonna run out of road and you're falling down into like this cliff where there's this ocean and the big megalodon kind of, you know, monster comes up out of the ocean and is gonna come and get you, and then just somebody catches you right in the right moment. You know, it's just so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And the music. Oh yeah. I would have done that five more times.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, that's almost wish we had done that one again because we then did Star Trek right afterwards, and
yes,
it was okay, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't the same feel. And I know Jackie said she'd start to get a little sick on that one.
Yeah, I was sick on the Star Trek one. It made me nauseous because I know of this about me. Like when there's no ground, when it feels like there's no ground below you, you have that like. Mental drop in your stomach that's connected somehow, you know what I mean? And like, so when we were whooshing around and there was no point of gravity for me to like mentally kind of latch onto,
so the motion doesn't happen and your mind is like, I'm dizzy. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's spit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I can get that. I get
and
that.
It was also, we were
like,
on
I
the
got
bridge.
The,
but it was, I mean, it was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as compelling. I mean, you were, you know, manning the helm, right? And you were like, typing in codes to like shoot things, but it wasn't as smooth. It wasn't as cool. Maybe we were just bad at it, but
I know, right?
Some stuff is good for VR, and sometimes they are able to make it in a way that you don't get the sickness, and some, you know, do. Like I have the PSVR and I've been playing different games on it and stuff, and some of them
what's your favorite?
This is immersive. Right now I have two favorites at the moment. One is the No Man's Sky, which is they did a VR version of it, like an update. It was free update, and it's even though it's a little fuzzy to look at, I'm literally flying a spaceship around and I can play my own music. So there are times where I'm just, you know, to kind of decompress, I'll play music and just fly a spaceship through an asteroid field and just,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
Do that.
And it doesn't, you know, give you that same feel, like when there's
no
ground
in space,
and you get sick?
Well, I'm slowly learning how to fly, so it's like that when I first did it, I got, you know, there are times where the controls kind of end up spinning out of control if you don't know what you're doing, and I ended up like, you know, almost vomiting. That's the thing.
Ooh.
Certain games, like I was so excited about the fact that they were going to do Wipeout. You know, Wipeout's an old PS1 game that they upgraded to HD and it's like you're basically racing these cool things. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to do this. And as soon as I started, I'm like, I can't play this. I almost threw up as soon as I played it. But then there's other stuff. There's one called Blood and Truth, which is like, it's a heist, you know, like criminal kind of game kind of thing where you're playing like a British type, you know, whatever, like you're in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels kind of thing. But it's not as witty, but there's some fun. They don't move around as much. So it's like a shooting game. That's really fun because it's like, it feels like you're playing an action movie, and there's like minimal areas where I felt sick with that, but. Yeah, No Man's Sky is basically my favorite because I just fly around in the spaceship. It's something I've always wanted to do.
I picture your wife walking in and go, David, David! And you're like flying out of space. Right? You're like floating over your house.
What are you doing?
This is amazing.
Yeah. This is the greatest. But it's cool. Speaking of, you know, flying spaceships, you guys got to do the VR thing. I got to go to Star Wars Land in California.
That's right.
Star Wars Land.
No one's interested in that, Dave. No one wants to hear about that. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, according to the internet, it's always empty, and I'm like, no, it's pretty full every time I've been there.
That's such bullshit.
You know, the reason they're saying honestly, they've optimized how you wait for it, so you're not really fucking waiting way too long to get in. The most I saw it at was 70 minutes, which is still a long time. You know, no, I've seen it at 90 minutes. The lowest I saw was about 50 minutes. But it's still, like, when I went, I waited 70 minutes, but there's so much to look at, and it's
when they opened Harry Potter Land, too.
Yeah. Harry Potter Land.
Harry Potter
Star
Land.
Star Wars Land. They're going to have the Mario Land.
Star Wars Land. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think it's so smart, though, because, I mean, why not create these rich environments? You've got people anxiously waiting anyway. It's just amping them up.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what the practice was that? The practice for that was when we took Xavier to, it was years ago, when we went to, and we went on the Dumbo ride. Mm-hmm. Remember how that line used to be like a nightmare, the Dumbo?
Yep.
Even though it's like a nothing ride. They did a whole experience in there that you don't even, that you get a ticket number, and then you're doing all this other stuff in there.
Yep.
And then your ticket number is called, and then you just go right up. So
you don't even
notice. So I felt like that's – because I've heard about this new system, and I felt like that was kind of the practice for them of making this move.
Yeah, they make it so that they're making it all very optimized so that people at least can ride some of the stuff that they want to ride. They have this Fast Pass stuff thing now too. So I was finally able to ride Indiana Jones after all these years. I never got to ride that ride ever.
And the one time I came to Disneyland
of like 5 years ago, it was closed for the day. So it was like, what?
Yeah, because that's not in Orlando, is it?
It's only Disneyland. So it's just
Disney World.
It's
we
such
only
a
had
great
the show,
ride.
Which I always would go to, but it was like a special effects stuntman show.
Right. Which was awesome.
I rode that ride so many times, and you would describe it to people, and you're like, you don't understand. It's like you're in Temple of Doom. Like there's no other way.
Is it a minecart ride? Because seriously, that movie was made to have a ride after it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
not
awesome.
Really minecart. You're in a Jeep and you're just basically driving around. Originally it's like you're supposed to be with Sala, but now they don't have anybody riding with you. They just have like a thing. But it's still, I mean, it's because everything is right in front of you. A lot of these rides are now turning into, you know, which the Millennium Falcon ride, the Smuggler's Run. It's a lot of it is projection, but it's very convincing projection. Whereas this, like, this is one of the older ones where there's, you know, you get into this really huge room, Richie won't remember, and it looks like you're driving into the temple in Temple of Doom. There's this big skull in the middle with flames and all kinds of shit.
God.
You're just like, oh my God,
it's a fire. You go over the bridge.
Yep.
And then the final thing is the big rock. Like if the rock is coming at you, and then your whole Jeep just drops down. It is the most awesome ride. I love that ride.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It still
I
want to
make a theme room where the fireplace is the skull from Temple of Doom. Oh my God.
Well, around.
Look, we did it again. We're like, so tell us about the Star Wars. Describing a ride that's been at Disney World for the last,
but the,
you know, 15
again,
years.
It's the whole concept of the show, so it's
I know. I know, it's just funny.
So, the Smuggler's Run ride is really great. It's literally, the best way I could describe it is like you're playing a massive video game with six people controlling.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, the line you're waiting on, you're just going, basically walking in and they have all the, you know, everything is set up cool. But once you step onto the ship, it's like you're walking through these, you know, the hallways that you see in the movies, you know what I mean? Like the design of it, and the chess table is there, and there's a little waiting area before you get into the cockpit. And then the cockpit.
Are there separate lines for the separate roles in the ship?
No,
or do you
well,
just
no.
Get randomly
basically,
sorted into
basically
them?
You get sorted into a group of six people. So it's like if you're with a bunch of people, or you know, if you're by yourselves or whatever, and then everybody just gets a little card, and the card gives you whatever job you're gonna have. And I guess if you look at it, it's like, hey, I want a pilot. It's like, okay, fine, you just switch it around or whatever. But you get two pilots, two gunners, and then two tech people. or you know, and so the two pilots obviously sit in front, the two gunners sit on behind them, and then the two tech people, you know, they do their own thing too. And I'm not going to spoil what happens in the ride, but
I was going to say the two tech people are like the people who don't really want to go, but they're
right.
Like, all right, we'll go.
Pretty
ride.
Much, but they do have responsibility. But yeah, the people who have the most responsibilities are the people who fly it. So it's, you know, you definitely, there's one person who controls going up and down, and the other one controls left and right. So it's pretty
obvious. That's cool.
It could be pretty crazy, and then, you know, there's a person who controls the hyperdrive thing and everything else, but it's,
I don't know, that sounds like all, like, so much fun, but also a recipe for a lot of hard conversations with family members.
Well, the thing is, this is the thing. I think it's good in that respect, because if you really think about what happens in Star Wars, it's like, it's all about conflict and everybody yelling at each other in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh my God, it creates that sense of adventure. It's like, no, go down. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
That's true.
The music playing, there's explosions and everybody, you know, you're not going to die, but you feel like you're going to when you see things, these big massive structures coming at you and you're crashing into them or crashing through them or scraping the top or the bottom of a cavern or stuff like that. You know, it's pretty fun. So yeah, it's definitely, you know,
although I think I hear what Jackie's saying, which is, I can imagine X and Quinn, you know, like, but I want to be pilot.
Oh, right,
I want to be pilot.
Right,
you know?
It's like, all right, well, in 70 minutes, you get to be pilot.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You get on the ride twice.
Because in reality, you're going to want, well, I mean, when I'm sure when you finally get to go, it's going to be when you do that whole experience with the Galactic Cruiser thing. Like, I picture you doing that, Rich.
Dude, if I win the lottery, maybe.
Right. It's going to be so expensive, I think, right? But I want to.
I heard some crazy amount. Yeah, it sounds great. But it is interesting that you're going to pay somebody to keep you prisoner in a hotel room for,
right,
you know, for 2 days, right? Did you hear about the whole experience, how it works?
Not all of it. No.
No. So essentially, you don't leave there for 2 days. Like, you,
right,
once you go in, you're there, and then you're
I don't see
the,
what's so, I mean, you're making this sound like a big commitment, and I'm like, okay, if I'm
well,
at
no,
my
no,
house
that's,
for
it's
days,
like a cruise.
I'm
I would
there
I would imagine
for
it
two
like
days.
A cruise. Yeah, like,
yeah,
you're on a cruise.
No, it's fine. I mean, no, I'm fine with that, but I just mean, I just think it's funny sounding, like, the idea that, like even with a cruise, you're leaving someplace here. I mean, essentially going into a warehouse or whatever they've created, you know what I mean? And you're staying there for, you know, how many days, which it sounds great, but it,
right,
I hear it's going to be some astronomical price, which,
right,
which is not, you know, anywhere near affordable, but it does sound amazing. It's just, I'm curious to see what it's going to be like for the people who are just kind of, who are not that into it, who,
right,
go, because, you know, like, it'll be, you know, for the people that are into it, yeah, that's fine, but it's going to be funny to see that one guy,
you know what, though?
Being dragged.
You know what, though? I think it's there are, like, when I was at this freaking park, Rich, there are people who you would not think are into any of this shit, and they're walking around with those $100 R2-D2, you know, the R2 units that they built in the workshop.
Just because they get into it. It's easy to get into when you're there.
You know, what do you call it? What's the
lightsaber.
Experience. And I'm like, there's people running around with all these things, and I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, people who you wouldn't think. It's like, they're like, I like the Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, right.
Yeah.
It's just an opportunity to cut loose, and even if it's not what they're like in their normal life, it's
right,
the perfect way to do it. But also, I feel like these places really have an art down. Like, they know to have enough to do for people with multiple interests. That the cantina might be, you know, like where those guys stay. Like, yeah, I'll just listen to Beep Boop Bop for a second and have a blue drink. You know what I mean?
Da-ba-dee-ba-doop-da.
That would be great.
By the way, that album from the cantina is out on iTunes.
Oh, really?
Whatever. Yeah. Which actually, I've been. It's like, it's kind of like, I don't even know. It's an interesting sound. Like, I actually have enjoyed it listening to it.
Oh,
but,
the cantina music.
Yeah, with the DJ that's in there.
Right. Yeah. It's
Max Rebo.
Yeah.
Well, it's a robot. Max Rebo. Yeah, he's got some. I think they repurposed
Max
the Star Tours robot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, a little bit. It does look like that a little
but,
bit.
But now, do you went into the shops at all? Or
yes.
Like,
yes, I walked around the shops.
Okay.
What was your question about it?
No, the one I, because the one I'm really interested in is the like where they have the Salacious Crumb puppet thing, all those animatronic puppets to buy and stuff.
Yeah, they're all they just basically like you go when you get into Star Wars land. there's all kinds of there are shops. There's like an area that's the section for the Resistance, and then there's a section for like the Republic, I guess, or the what? I'm sorry. Sound like completely.
Oh, the but yeah, no, I know, the First
the
Order.
Imperial
yeah.
Order.
First Order. That's right. Yeah. So the, yeah. there's a First Order section, and there's a like the Resistance section, and you get different stuff, and then there's an area that's like the barbecue area, well, the lunching area, the food area, and they have this really massive turbine, this engine that's heating up the like this big, you know, fake looking, well, it's not fake looking, but like this big. Meat, you know, so it's like supposedly that meat, but it's just cool. The set design is amazing. There's a water fountain thing that you know you can fill up, and like where it's coming from, there's like a Skarrad inside of it that pops its head up and down. So it's like it's really like they really think about a lot. I'm not, you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff you can see on YouTube. There's lots of walkthroughs that people have been doing.
Yeah, Xavier and I have been like, you know, going through those because he can't wait to get out there. Like he's dying. He wants. You know, I even told him, I said, we got to save tons of money because he wants to build a lightsaber. We both want to build lightsabers. We both want the robots.
Right, I know. But, you can't do something that I can't do.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? Yeah, exactly. But then they even have, like for Pepsi products, they have it like a little, like, what was that? That the bomb.
They're little thermal detonators.
Yeah, thermal detonator.
But you can't travel with them, unfortunately.
Well, now you can. Because there were enough petitions.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Every Star Wars fan wrote their congressman, and then they're like, okay, we'll let you.
You know,
they got that.
You gotta take into account what really matters in life.
Yeah, wow. They got that fixed. Because the airports weren't going to allow, the TSA wasn't going to allow people to bring those on because they were having a problem with too many of them. But, they somehow, I'd be pissed if I was that one guy who didn't get to bring it on and then they changed it.
Right, and then later,
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I did not drink the blue milk.
What about the blue? No, I was going to ask you the blue milk,
You can get it. It's there, but I didn't drink it. It's definitely cool. The other ride supposedly opens later, I think like in January or something. And that's from what I heard, it's the most sophisticated theme park ride at the moment. Like it's, you know, it's they're using
awesome.
All the latest technology.
Well, I hope so, right?
You know, all the latest, you know, to create some incredibly immersive thing. They're doing a lot with it. Like I've been like, because of all these rides and stuff, and sometimes I'll go to like, you know, when we go to Universal and stuff like that, we want to look at, I'm like, oh man, I want to see that ride again just to see, you know, just to remember some of the stuff. I'm seeing like stuff in Shanghai and all these other rides. There's like the Shanghai Disney has a Pirates of the Caribbean ride. I suggest you look at this ride in Shanghai. It looks incredible. Like it's not the same ride that we have at Disneyland or Disney World. It's completely different, and they have they do a thing where you basically feel like it looks like you're traveling, your ship is traveling up and down into the ocean, and like they do some incredible stuff with projection, so it looks like you're actually there in the middle of a fucking ship battle. It's amazing, but so I can't even think. The only piece of art that I've seen for this new ride is for Star Wars is that I see you. Like you can see it in brochures and stuff, you're looking up at AT-ATs. So I don't know. I mean,
fun.
I can't wait.
The one picture I saw, you're on the bridge. You're on the bridge with all those stormtroopers of the Star Destroyer. Yeah.
Man.
I haven't looked up what are they doing in Orlando. Because aren't they doing this in Orlando too, but maybe not all the same ride?
No, it's going to be both. That one's going to open there, yeah.
It's going to open
there
before
it opens in L.A. Yeah.
Oh, I got to make a trip. Because I don't live in Florida right now, but...
But, you know, this whole thing about how, it's dead or whatever, it's like, you know what? Take advantage of that if they say it's dead in there, because it's...
Yeah.
It's every time I've gone, I promise you, it's been super busy.
That's awesome.
To the point where I can just walk around and I'll look at the vending stuff, and I'm like, hey, maybe the line is short today on the Millennium Falcon. I was like, nope, still pretty long.
Honestly, that's because, you might have different deals because of where you work. But I know that when I was living in Florida, we would always get the annual passes because it was so worth it. You could just go up you didn't even have to spend the whole day there. When you have an annual pass, because it would cover parking and everything, except for like special occasion days or whatever. There were some locations, but they were pretty few though. Yeah. So you could just go up on a Tuesday and spend an hour and a half just because you felt like doing, you know, like two of the rides, and then you could just like eat lunch there and go home or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like it's a better value at Disney World more so than at Disneyland, especially because Disney World is so massive and it's a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. Even though I love Disneyland, it's still...
Well, I've never been to Disneyland, so I don't have it to compare to. What's so different?
It's smaller. Yeah.
You can fit all of Disneyland, supposedly, into the parking lot of Disney World. Let's just say that.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
the parking lot of Disney World is huge.
Yes.
But...
Yeah. No, what's surprising about it is, and the way that Disney California and Disneyland are right literally next to each other, like you walk a gate to get into Disney California, like you could you could just walk from one to the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the way Universal Studios and Universal Florida, Universal
Islands of Adventure. Yeah.
But what always surprised me too was I would find like you could do Disneyland in a day easily and then go back around and do the stuff a second time.
Right.
You know, that's really the main difference. With Disney World, you feel like
you
definitely don't get to do everything.
Disney
yeah.
World, let me tell you, the last time I went to Disney World, we went on a Halloween Horror Nights evening and we had the tickets to both parks and Halloween Horror Nights in the evening, and we were only there for the one day overnight. So we did power through. I am telling you, felt like I had done a triathlon. I felt like I was in the Ironman competition by the end of that weekend because, thank God we stayed. I splurged on one of the in-park hotels so that we could just crash immediately when we were done. But, like, holy cow. It was so much. There was never enough time to do everything. We did not get to see everything, even though we had a great time. But I was thinking about going again this year for Halloween Horror Nights because it's actually been quite a while since I've been. But we just realized that next year is going to be the 30-year anniversary of Halloween Horror Nights.
What?
So
30 years?
I'm thinking, I'm thinking they've got to do something special. And even if they don't do something special, I'll still be happy to, you know, go next year. So...
I got to go. We went a couple weeks.
You know what's? Well, you know what's so funny?
How was it this year?
That's great. What were you gonna say, Richie?
We just watched a video, and it could be from this year's. I don't even know, but it was at the Magic Kingdom, it was at one of the castles. They had this whole Nightmare Before Christmas thing happening, where it's all projected, and there's a big puppet of Jack Skellington. Like, was that at this year's?
I think they have it at Disney World this year. I mean, Disneyland. I don't know. I'm sure they do it at Disney World too.
Oh, it was that was amazing. Like that, the way they were doing the holographic stuff in front of the castle, like it was. And I'm watching it on video, like on YouTube. I can't even imagine.
And it was still cool. Yeah,
like. It was still pretty cool.
In general, like this year for Halloween product and stuff. I mean, obviously the displays like that are different, but the Haunted Mansion came out with a whole bunch of products because it's an anniversary of that.
It's the 50th.
And even even Nightmare Before Christmas, I don't work in a retail environment where I sell that stuff anymore, but as I'm going through, even at like the local Walgreens or whatever, the quality of the products coming out this year, this Halloween for those things, those licenses, is so cool. And I'm just like, oh, thank God, because I worked at Hot Topic for 11 years and I loved it there, but I ended up hating Nightmare Before Christmas because like it was every holiday season it would just, you know, it would overwhelm and it would always be the cheesiest, crappiest looking stuff. To me, my personal aesthetic, I don't mean to like knock it for anybody who was like, I love that. I have the bed set. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry. I apologize. But just for my personal tastes, not my thing. And I ended up like not wanting to even watch that movie for the longest time. And finally, I've not worked there for enough years that I actually enjoy watching it now. And I'm actually really happy to see the product. And there's like, if you go into Hot Topic now, and I'm not trying to like plug this because I used to work there, but just because there's some really cool stuff right now, they have a bunch of Beetlejuice merchandise right now that's super cool. They've got the Haunted Mansion stuff. They've got like so much stuff that is, it's, it's aesthetically much more pleasing than some of like the cheesy stuff that used to be out there. So I gotta just give kudos to whoever is in charge of making products right now for some of these licenses, because they're really hitting it.
Do you think it's technology too, like that's made it better, or just
Maybe in part, but most of it is really just the art design. I feel like people are finally embracing some things that are, I mean, they're still going to hit you over the head of what they are, but maybe it's measuring cups that say Eye of Newt and Wormswort or whatever, and don't necessarily say, and they look like what's in the movie, you know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of saying The Nightmare Before Christmas in giant letters with everyone's face across, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little overbranded, which there's still stuff like that, of course. But
I think that's what I loved about seeing some of that Disney, the Star Wars stuff at Disney, like some of those, like when they sell like that little case where that Luke used with in Dagobah when he's gonna eat the food out of it, or even
that's
like
that's exactly it. It's
the,
like I want
the children's
more
toys
like a replica
and the artwork,
like a market, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
like
want
even
a
they have
with
like
Legolas
toys from
space
Tatooine.
On it. I want the little like emblem pin with the leaf of Lorien. Right. You know, like
there's a lot of that. That's pretty. It's good that you say that again. Yeah. There's a lot of that where there's lots of little things, the little trinkets and things that's like, you know, somebody won't know what this is unless they dig Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's like it's some fun stuff. Plus there's some creature toys. There's a little porgs. Everybody loves a porg. But like
why
you
even
said,
like those ones that they made, that they act like the people of Tatooine made toys for the kids.
Yeah.
So they're like rough versions of know.
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't buy toys. I say we. It's really me because I was only home. I'm the only one that really bought toys.
I don't really buy toys anymore.
We don't. Mm-hmm. But I do. I did buy some World of Warcraft toys not too long ago that look like the plushies that the little kids have in World of Warcraft. Like if you go like a peasant's house or something in one of the towns and you see just like some random things around, it looks like that. And
cool.
I'm like, that I love. Like that's the kind of stuff I eat up with a spoon. And I think that we have, I might have even talked about this on the show before too. I think we owe a lot to cosplay culture because of that.
Absolutely.
I really think that that's shining a spotlight.
Oh, you can buy, and Rich, you just definitely save some money because if you go to these things, you guys can get your own Jedi robes, you can get your own public outfits, anything that you want. It's all there. It's definitely Jackie makes a point. It's definitely cosplay inspired. Yep.
Yeah, well, for sure. But even in that vein, I wanted to cross over into, has anybody seen the Dark Crystal?
I watched the first episode.
I haven't had time to watch the rest of it, but I did enjoy what I saw.
Wholeheartedly endorse.
Awesome.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. And the fact that they brought back the original art team of Brian and Wendy Froud and even their son Toby Froud, and just the way that they have done this with Jim Henson's daughter leading the helm, you know, really has been so mindful and thoughtful. And anybody who even is having any hesitation about watching it or isn't interested in actually watching the series, they have like a 120-minute behind-the-scenes making-of film on Netflix as well, which is just as good. Huge spoilers. So if anybody even just wants to be like, well, I don't even know. I don't know. Let me just see. Like that, it'll give you some like character spoilers and things like you'll meet people that you don't know that you're going to meet in the show, but like no storyline ones really.
I watched that before I saw this. It that came out like I think it was like a month or so before they released the series, and I got to see that. And that's what really got me ramped up for the show because just watching
the
love and
the
care.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, they love, this is love. This isn't just, money grab, you know?
Right.
No.
It
was so well done and you could feel it. There are some parts that there's a couple parts in the show where maybe I feel like they go too far because they want to make a joke that's funny for a 13-year-old or something gross that's funny for a 13-year-old. And I'm like, ugh, okay. You know, but not enough to derail the show. The show on a whole is, again, just perfect and fabulous. And even in that making of, you see them that they had tested doing maybe a mix of puppetry and CG, mm-hmm. like having the Gelflings be a digitally animated character, yeah. but having the Skeksis be puppet. And mm. that test was fascinating to watch, but I'm so glad that they had the same reaction that I think all of us would, where we're like, yeah. no, it's just not the same. It's just, right. you can't do that, you know, which is
especially
funny
when you make a prequel. Yeah. If it's a prequel, it needs to feel like it matches.
It needs to flow. And, yeah. and they do enhance, they go into how they do enhance expressions and different things mm-hmm. with CG, but it is so seamless that it doesn't take you out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even though they're blending these two methods, and that's always been my point
like
of view too,
that.
ever since, you know, Robert Rodriguez talking about, you know, like, From Dusk Till Dawn or something, where like mm-hmm. practical effects, if you can have yeah. something tactile, mm-hmm. that's always going to be better. And sure, enhance it, but like,
yeah.
oh, I'm just over the moon about it. So, so good. Highly recommend.
Yeah, I need to, because I got to watch the first one and I really enjoyed it, but it was one of those late nights and I'm like, I can't,
yeah.
as much as I love this, I'm not going to make it, like, I'm not going to stay with
you. Well,
stay
I don't blame you. And honestly, this is probably a surprise that we didn't binge this. We didn't watch it all in one or two nights. We literally did do an episode a night for like a week or so. You know, I mean, we took our time with it a little bit, but it totally worthwhile. And the voices, oh my God, the cast was incredible.
Yeah, they got a lot of people, a lot of great people to jump in on this one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of surprises.
Chamberlain, why can't I think of his name right now?
Chamberlain!
You know, Chamberlain, yes, but like from Spaced and Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, yes.
Yeah.
incredible how much he sounded like the original. I mean, oh,
yeah.
so good. Very, very talented.
Yeah, no, it's cool. a lot of yeah. We'll have to talk about it once we finish the whole thing. But once I finish the whole thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Hensons, I apparently this year at the Henson Studio they're doing a Farscape 20th anniversary costume party.
Oh my God!
And
oh,
it's
wow.
like, and they're and it's like I'm going back and forth in my mind. It's like should I take my money out of savings and go to this.
Yes.
It's like GGS is going to be there. And I'm just like,
I don't understand why you're even still thinking about
and
this.
It's like, I don't know why I'm still thinking about it either. It's like, I really want to do it, but it's $150. And it's like, you know, it's like, do I really want to spend $150? I don't know. And it's a costume party and I don't look like Crace anymore. I wish I did.
Oh my gosh. You know what? 99.9% of humans on the earth don't look like Crace.
But I wanted to dress like him.
You still can. You don't have to be the perfect spitting image. You know what I mean?
That's funny. Well,
Crace doesn't look like Crace anymore.
I know. It's true. but yeah, so that's going on, and I'm like so wanting to do it, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You should so do it, and you don't even have to do something as like Crace. I mean, you could just do, you know, if you really want to be lazy.
I'm one of those guys
in
the background.
Door. You could still get in the door with Green Shirt Crichton. Be like, look, I got a green shirt. I'm Green Shirt Crichton.
Green Shirt Crichton, like that guy walking down the street during Halloween one year. He's like, I'm Dale Strawberry. Get a mask.
Yes.
That's cat. Kept saying it over and over.
Yes.
It's like, don't.
Oh my gosh. When's the event?
I think it's like October, like October 19th or something like that. I don't know.
Well, that's pretty quick. So you need to get your shit together. Close.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get on it. And if you need to order somebody to speed make you a Winona, you need to do that shit now.
No shit. Yeah, I'll have to think about it. I'll make a decision this week.
You gotta stop thinking. You gotta just make a decision and stick with it. It's gonna be too late.
True. I know.
It's funny.
Another movie I got to see in the theater, I was just thinking of, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What'd you think?
Was the last movie I saw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I completely forgot I saw that. That was the last movie I saw.
Glowing review, Richie. Glowing.
Yeah,
show
I know.
Me,
sorry.
Forgot all about it.
No, I actually did. I liked it a lot. I mean,
it's a slow burn.
I don't know what it was about it, but I found it very fascinating. Just just the way that it took its time, and then even just like scenes of just when Brad Pitt's driving, like it just it was just a very visually interesting. And I think I like this. You know, it sounds ridiculous to say this, but I think I like the way he did the soundtrack in this film.
No, I'm in agreement. Yeah. I actually think I like the soundtrack better than the movie. I listen to the soundtrack when I'm driving all the time.
Yeah, the soundtrack's great.
Well, what's
yeah.
different? What's different about this Tarantino soundtrack versus
right.
his others?
I'm genuinely curious.
I haven't seen it.
I think it, for me, it takes me back to, even though I'm not from that age, but in the 70s, I used to listen to like, you know, WABC radio and WCBS and all these. And the album is done as if it's a radio station with the DJ in there, but it's not, and commercials, but it's not just like a, you know, like the way Reservoir Dogs did it. It's like very, it's almost like there's, it's very authentic. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to it, it reminds me of when I was a kid listening to like the radio and taping songs, you know what I mean? Or trying to do that. So that part of it was, fascinating musically. Mm-hmm. Film-wise, I mean, it's such a hard film to talk about if someone hasn't seen it. You didn't see it, right, Jackie?
I didn't see it.
Okay. It is, it's...
Don't worry about spoilers.
It's not what I expected it was going to be. It was, but then it wasn't. And I found myself concerned about getting to the end.
Right.
And then I wasn't, but it was, and I didn't know if that was
concerned about getting to the end, like you weren't going to like stay awake, or you didn't like where it was going?
No, because of the subject matter, so you have to wonder, like, how are they going to treat this section of the movie? You know, once you get to Sharon
Tate.
Like
the tapes, yeah.
Yeah, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to feel when that's happening, like you're watching this, and
sure.
You know, even though I went in knowing that you know, that's going to – so you still kind of like concerned about how is this going to be played.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting the way that it was played. Surprised me, even though I shouldn't have been surprised. But but it's one of those that you kind of have to see it. There's some people that will get angry about it, and there's some people that will – think it's kind of cool, but I don't think there's a middle ground. You know what I mean?
Okay, so again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know exactly what happens, but just without seeing it, the thing that I know about Quentin Tarantino is that especially when he places things in a historical context, he doesn't necessarily follow history. So I wouldn't necessarily plan on having things play out exactly the way that we know them to have played out, you know?
Right.
And I might be totally off base there.
He puts a spin on it, and it's literally a spin. And it's cool. It takes a long time to get to that point, and it's I don't mind a slow burn. There are times where the movie, you're just like, okay, where the fuck is this going? It's like I love the dialogue, and I love the music, but it takes its time. And again, it's a very leisurely kind of film. Richie said, you know, there's moments where you're literally watching – you know, Brad Pitt drive a car for almost 5 minutes. You're just like, I'm sitting here watching.
But I didn't mind it though.
The music is cool. And the visuals, like, because you feel like you're taking a ride with him. And again, in that sense, it takes you back to that time because literally that's what you did. We didn't have our phones to distract us. We didn't have we didn't have media overload or nothing. It was, we had the road and we had music. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you, like, even in the 90s, we did the same thing because we had like to get out of our parents' house. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so it does harken back to that, you know, and that's
it definitely was a character study. Like I'll say that it definitely focuses. It's almost like a stage play character study, not like Hateful Eight, because Hateful Eight, I know some people said, oh, that's like a play, but that movie it's okay, but that's not my, you know, it's one of those that it's okay. It just feels like somebody doing Tarantino, that film to me. Whereas this film, I kind of felt like this is what made Tarantino interesting when he first came on the scene, because I felt like I wasn't seeing something that was being emulated. The only time I would say maybe I start to feel like, oh, well, this a little typical was the end. But getting there, I thought I was watching something that reminded me of the Pulp Fiction vibe.
Oh, right. Cool.
Like even something as simple as, you know, like the drug dealers or just, you know, like just way, or even the way the characters talked when they were, you know, Ned, that pawn, the pawn shop, you know, like that kind of interesting buildup to things. Like you're just letting the scene kind of happen where, you know, sometimes I feel like Tarantino becomes a copy of himself in his own movie. And I didn't get that in this one.
Right. The only thing that I had really read up on was, the stuntman who Brad Pitt's character was based on came out and kind of against how they handled the Bruce Lee scene. Because it's not really how it happened. But again, like, why do we really expect it to be how it really happened, you know? And but he really did want to kind of clear things up there and be like, listen, this is the real story about what that was. And yes, there's some truth there, but it's not how it was portrayed. And I thought that was an interesting thing, too, that apparently is in the movie. Do you get any of the backstory of where Bruce Lee is actually landing punches on stuntmen? Like, is that even talked about?
Yeah, Bruce Lee's kind of an asshole in this film.
Yeah,
right.
Which is, to put it mildly. He does talk about that, but he kind of shit talks everybody else in a way. Mm-hmm. And they kind of played him up to be the villain. I was kind of surprised by that too, because I've always seen the opposite, so I didn't know that he would that he spoke like this. If that were the case, not that I took this as Bible, you know.
Right. And again, I mean, you know, I had
it's like it's pretty much a caricature. It's like watching his own interviews. Like if you look at the video of him talking about being like water, it's like it's that character times 1,000, basically. Who's in this movie?
But see, that's what I would expect from Tarantino. Everything is amped up. So you know,
it's kind of like Mark Wahlberg in that fake documentary in Boogie Nights, right? Like the kind of the way that Bruce Lee was.
Oh man,
just the way he's talking about himself so proudly.
Yeah, I gotta watch Boogie Nights. It's been so many years.
Gosh.
It's a good one.
Okay, yeah, so I'm only going
to
bring this up.
Next time you go to your mom's, bring it with you.
Hey, Ma, I got a great movie.
So, I only want to bring this up and change subject for a second because I'm afraid we're going to wind down soon, and I really feel like a personal obligation to plug this video game. So I got to play recently a video game called Fae, which I might be pronouncing incorrectly, but it's just F-E with an accent. Oh, my God. Maybe took me 7 hours or so to get through. I mean, it's not a super long game, but so beautiful. Well, yeah, no, me too. It was so satisfying because I got to actually finish it. Mm-hmm. But it is so beautiful. The environment is incredible. You play this little magical creature who there's no words in the whole game, which is fantastic. I love games that are based on visuals and sound. Mm-hmm. But you play this little magical creature who communicates with other creatures. Like, you learn different ways to communicate with different types of creatures to unlock different abilities and different zones and create puzzle or solve puzzles. And, I mean, it is so satisfying and so beautiful and has such an incredible landscape. The art direction is just amazing. It really felt to me like I was playing a mix of something like Limbo and Flower with a little bit of that scale of Shadow of the Colossus in some parts.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about that on Facebook.
It was this really beautiful combination of genres and intense, like, emotion in some parts, and you just feel like you were trying to connect with nature, and you can tell that there's been this, I don't know if there was like a war, or I don't know how you felt about it. I mean, you find out what it is, but like you can feel like you're piecing this puzzle together, and you're trying to find out what's happening and why there's certain parts that are withering and what, you know, going on. And it's just so satisfying that I have to highly recommend it. It is one of those little indie games that I got on a discount because it was on like a PS Plus
Yeah, it was on special.
Not free. Yeah, right. But it was on special, and I don't know how much it normally is, but it can't be more than $20, you know, maybe 15.
Yeah, I think it was on special price. For like $7 or something like that. Or
that's
something
what I'm saying. Okay,
oh,
wow. So it's probably full price 15.
Right.
You know, so even if it's not on special anymore, I really wanted to recommend it because I've also bought Kingdom Hearts 3 for like $20, and that I know that I haven't played the other Kingdom Hearts games, but like that has been so disappointing to me. I'm just
really?
What is,
yeah.
What is the hype here? Like this game is awful, and maybe I'm not in far enough. But I've played like 4 hours of it, and I'm like, this is just bad. Well,
you know what's the sad part is because I have the Kingdom Hearts trilogy, and I think I've gotten to Alice in Wonderland, but. I feel like there's worlds I'm never going to get to see because I don't have the time.
Well, that's just it. Number one, it takes so long.
Into-
I was watching my save time because it is one of those types where you do save and you see your how long you've been playing and everything. Mm-hmm. It had been 40 minutes of gameplay, and I had killed literally two mobs. No boss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
yeah.
No,
you everything was a cutscene.
You're just
and
describing
I don't
it.
Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
it.
Mind cutscenes, but
games.
Like, oof, it was bad.
You
it
know,
was bad.
I'm reading that. I'm reading about that game that you're talking about because I guess it's a Swedish game.
Oh, is it? I'm not surprised.
And he
fucking
said something
Swedish.
About the. He said they wanted to stay true to the recollection of their Nordic forests populated by creatures with no spoken language.
Oh,
which is interesting.
So beautiful.
And then it does say it was based, Billy said games like Journey and Shadow of Colossus were their inspiration.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Journey
makes
beautiful.
A lot of sense.
Shadow of Colossus is beautiful. Even the
and it's
not
for Nintendo Switch. I'm going to pick on.
I'm just saying,
Nintendo
if Kingdom
Switch,
Hearts can be a popular genre just because it's got Disney attached, then this game should get a few more clicks. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's genuinely amazing.
It looks great.
It's always disappointing. When you would get to those worlds, like that, nothing really. There's nothing really happening that really. That makes you think, you might as well be anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the Hearts world. Like, it doesn't, it's just visually, it's okay when you get to those worlds, but it's just.
The trailers
like,
get you
the
because
time
the show,
that it took
show
to get
you.
There. Yeah, exactly. Because the cutscenes are amazing looking, but the time it takes to get there is like, it's not worth it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of games, I got to play a game, I picked up because it looked interesting, and I don't know, and I hear I like the team that made the game. It's a game called Control, and it's kind of like a best way to describe it, I guess, is this. It's almost like an X-Files type chick. She goes in, she's like some kind of agent. She goes to a building that she's assigned to, and then the building is this completely almost like TARDIS like otherworldly thing that's massive inside that has all kinds of crazy psychokinetic things happening and. The reason I bring it up because it most reminds me of a game that I used to play called PsyOps for the PS2, I think it was, where you had telekinetic powers and you had different powers that you got unlocked, like, you know, where you can move things and all this stuff. And this game is kind of like in the same kind of vein. It kind of feels like that. So if anybody remembers that game, it's kind of like that. It's an action game, female protagonist, you get these weird psycho powers and stuff, and I played about 2 hours of it, and it's really neat, really cool looking, and it's definitely.
I'm looking at pictures of it.
Yeah, it's
looks
pretty
cool.
It's by the guys who did Max Payne and Alan Wake, what was it, Quantum Break? I guess there was another game they did. So very story driven, but also action packed kind of style stuff. So
nice.
That was definitely something of note. It's pretty cool. I liked it.
Very cool.
Well, you know what? They actually released the the PlayStation's the Switch. The PlayStation Switch. Listen to me. Wow. It must be late. On the Nintendo Switch, they released Super Nintendo games that you can. It's almost like you get to play them. You open an app and then you're playing the Nintendo games.
Oh, cool.
So they have like a lot, like
cool.
Super Mario, they have they have tons of stuff, but and they always update those. Like they actually have two different ones: one that's Super NES and one that's regular.
Oh,
Nintendo.
That's right. I heard Blaster
and
Master's on there. I want to play it. So
yeah, Blaster Master's on there.
Master.
They're actually working on GameCube games, so
ooh,
that's going to be the next one.
Eternal Darkness. I want to play that again. Oh, so.
But and then
oh,
I've also been playing.
Had a GameCube.
No, I had the GameCube. I don't feel like I utilized it enough, you know, because I think PlayStation 2 was out at the same time, right?
Well, I should revise that statement, because back when I worked at Sam Goody with Dave, and they had changed the in-store like displays where you could play on them, I think I did get to take home a GameCube when we like were changing them out for something else. But I never actually got any games, and when I moved out of state, I think I just sold it or gave it to a friend or something.
Oh, that's
funny.
No,
I think I had one.
Yeah, that's how I was able to have the Xbox, the PlayStation, and the GameCube. I had.
Oh my god!
That was the only time I had three systems, and it was expensive.
Hmm.
And he played them at the same time. He'd spin his chair around the three TV sets.
It felt like I had to sometimes. I had the Switch box, and I had to every time I wanted to play something. It was like, do I want it? Or when it was, a game would come out, it's like, all right, what's the best version? Which one? Which system do I get it for?
I disappointed Xavier so badly because he had seen everything about Mario Sunshine on YouTube. I guess I don't even know where he found it, and he became obsessed with this game. And he's like, he said, do you have the GameCube? Is it at grandma's? And I'm like, I said, yeah, I think so. And so we went there, and then all of a sudden I remembered, holy moly, I don't have that. I sold my GameCube to get a PSP. I remember at GameStop for like, you know, getting completely ripped off.
Right.
But
lost a lot of
really
dad cred right there.
Yeah, I definitely did, yeah. But he definitely wanted to play Super Mario Sunshine, which
I love how you say Mario still, like it's still Mario. It's never gonna change. It's constant. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
Jackie got subjected to Xavier demonstrating every Mario move, right? In the
we got to we basically had a sleepover and stayed up all night playing Nintendo Switch. Which was hilarious because I think, Rich, you and Jen were both like, are you okay? You know, he can stop. Xavier, you don't have to show her everything. And I'm like, no, man, what else are you doing? What's this game?
Yeah. I know. He'll go into very specific detail about things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
Have you gotten him
I can't
Super
wait
Mario
to get one of those
Maker?
Switches. Super Yo, Mario
oh, yeah.
Maker.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
But I do have to say, since we're on the topic of video games, and I try not to bring up WoW too often, I know I do because I do play a lot, but, like, two things. Number one, classic vanilla WoW was released, which basically means, for people, I don't know if you guys even know this, but, like, a version of the game that was when it was in its original form. So it's got its own servers, it's got its own class, you actually have to play on separate things, you can't connect any of your items or your money or anything. Like, you have to make a new tune and play just like when the game was new. And it is so great. It is so much fun. It is so long and hard. And like, there's all these shortcuts that have developed over the years that they've rolled back to be the original game content. And so, like, right now you can get up to level, what, 120 in retail, which is like the current version of the game. But in this, you can only get up to level 60, and the leveling is so much slower. It's so much harder. It's so much more to grind and so much more to do. And oh my gosh, it is so satisfying. I love it. The majesty, the excitement. You don't get riding. You don't get mounted, quick land travel at all until you're like level 40 or something, which I realize doesn't mean anything to someone who doesn't play, but to people who play, it means a lot.
And you were able to keep your character, right? Like that, you just logged into your older character, because that's what my friend told me.
He
had to start from scratch, or you have to.
I don't know if he knows something that I don't know, but my old character, well, this is the thing. My old character, because you continue on, I had kept playing with the game. Okay, so maybe he still had the original version of the game and hadn't ever gotten any updates. Because I had continued to play and I had all the latest updates, my original character that I made back when it was Vanilla WoW is now a level 120 character. So I can't play my level 120 character in Classic WoW, so I had to make new characters. So maybe that's a thing for people who had stopped playing and had never done any updates, because, I mean, no expansions, there's no nothing, they haven't even released raids or anything yet. But anyway, that's fun. But dual that, this is like double whammy for World of Warcraft players, and I know that I'm the only one nerding out right here in this podcast, and I'm sorry. But, like, double whammy, because in retail, they're still continuing the current content, and so the newest patch, the evil bitch of the Horde, Sylvanas Windrunner, and I know I am alienating 50 or probably 75% of WoW players, because everybody plays Horde, except for me, because Alliance for the win, but Sylvanas Windrunner finally forsook the Horde, and I am so excited, because I'm going to get to fucking kill her. I better get to kill her. I want to kill her so bad. She's so evil, and she killed basically the king of, you know, the Alliance, and I just can't wait. I just can't wait. She burned Teldrassil. I want to stab her in the heart with my own knife. And I'm going to get to do it.
So we're going to get phone calls from her fans. Like, I'm offended.
She's a badass character. She really is. She's this cool banshee chick that's, like, back from the dead, and she raises people from the dead. And, like, it's a very cool story. Like, I'm not mad at her story, but, like, she's an evil bitch who needs to die. And she's been leading the Horde for a long time, and she finally showed her true colors to them, where she's like, the Horde is nothing. And I'm like, yes, you're a lying bitch. And finally, the Horde's going to come against you, and we're all going to get to kill you.
But people in the other apartments are banging on the wall, keep it down.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I know. I'm really excited about this. But, like, she needs to die. She killed the life tree and, like, hundreds of millions of, you know, night elves and a hater.
So, wow. Now, can I ask you a question about the vanilla WoW?
Yeah.
I read somewhere, some kind of post I saw somewhere, that people were actually waiting in queue in their character, their avatars were waiting in a queue to get onto a particular quest. So people were, like, literally, like, as their character in the game, waiting in line to start a quest. Like, and there was, like, long lines.
I had not seen that to start a quest, but what really was happening was to complete a task in a quest, because a lot of these quests require you to kill a certain NPC, and whoever takes the first stab at them gets the credit for the kill. If 20 people take a stab at this person, they don't all get credit. That's true now in retail, like in current WoW, that's the case. But in classic WoW, the first person who gets a hit is who gets the credit. So when you're talking about these, you know, incredible amounts of people all starting characters at the same time, because it's a launch of a new, you know, version, everybody's leveling practically at the same time, or most people are. I mean, I'm not. I'm actually pretty far behind because I'm not playing a lot. But it's better in the realms with the queue than it is in the realms without a queue, because I actually was in a room without a queue, and or in a room without a queue, but a realm without a view. But it was so terrible, because, like, oh my god, you just had to wait for the character to respawn and hope that you spamming your little
not again,
you know, spamming your little
character goes
like,
no, not again.
Oh my god! And in that particular case, I changed to a hunter, but in that particular case, I was maining a warlock, which this is a whole nother thing that happens in retail, because the first tag gets the credit for a kill. Even if you're just hunting boars and not an NPC, if you're just hunting stuff to get everything, if you're a caster, like a mage or a warlock, your attack button takes a moment. It takes you a moment to cast a spell. There's like a loading bar that's like, and you've got an animation where you're like, I'm gathering my magical resources and I'm going to hit you with this so hard. And then a rogue comes up and it goes stab, and then they get credit for the thing that you were like focused on. You know? And you're like, God damn it.
It's like I picture the NPC like the woman in the airplane sitting in the everybody slapping her. I gotta get out of here. Like,
it's very much like that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I just pictured it on the news when they keep showing those people standing for Everest, you know, and they're just waiting to climb the mountain or climb down the mountain.
Oh yeah, very much so.
That's what it sounds like.
But it's been a blast though. I can't complain. It's been such a joy.
It's cool.
Wow, nice. Very cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. There's a lot of games coming out, but there's a Lego Star Wars trilogy one that I'm actually kind of excited about. That's coming out. That looks pretty cool. But there was another. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No. I was just like those are fun though. The Lego games.
Oh yeah. But I've been stuck right now on the phone playing. Two Nintendo games is Mario, Dr. Mario and Mario Kart, which came out for the iPhone, which has been like, which I find myself playing over and over again for some weird reason, which
Nintendo
is a lot of fun.
Nintendo knows what they're doing, you know?
I know. They sneak in those, if you want to play as Mario, just give us $1.99 and we'll give you 40 minutes of Mario time. It's like, yeah, right. Not yet.
Yeah.
Well, we might get to see Death Stranding this year too, which we've been talking about on this podcast for 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, I'm excited. I stayed away from the last gameplay demo because I'm like, you know what? It's too close. It's coming out in a few weeks. I want to just jump in. I'm not gonna like the trailers that I've been seeing have been amazing, but the last one, I'm like, okay, I gotta stay away. No more. Because I don't want to hear any more story. I just want to get into it and have it happen as I see it. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but it looks crazy. You know, the usual Kojima craziness that I love
in the best way. I know. I can't wait. Speaking of Kojima, though, did you see the article that was going around that showed someone who was playing the PT trailer and then basically zoomed out a little bit, well, they didn't so much zoom out, but they made the camera stay still as they moved forward,
right.
So you could see that the chick was behind you the whole time.
It's creepy.
Oh my god, that was so cool. Oh, it makes me want to replay that, which I do still have saved on my PlayStation.
You do?
Well, that was the Guillermo. That's the Guillermo del Toro one.
Okay.
Man, I wish I fucking.
Yeah, that's like you could probably figure out a way to sell that for bitcoins or something. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to do anything that will jeopardize me owning it. But Dave, you don't have that still downloaded?
I don't have it only because I'm stupid because I had to upgrade my hard drive because I was running out of space and I didn't know that you couldn't re-download it when it happened. And
you didn't transfer the actual.
I wasn't able to transfer it, and I was just like, "No, I didn't want to lose this game." I was so upset because
it's been a while since I played it.
It still resonates. It's still one of the best horror game experiences ever, and it'll.
Yeah, it's so short.
I miss it. I really want
it. Yeah, I really want to. And what's funny too is it's so short, but I didn't play all through it in one night. You know, like it still was long enough that you wanted to go back and try different things and.
Yep.
It's been actually years since I've played it, and with it starting, you know, October, sounds like a perfect time to revisit.
Yep, absolutely. It's just one of those, and what could have been? What could have been?
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder like in some alternate universe, the game actually got released. I wish I could play it.
Because but at least we got that much, you know?
Yeah, and then that one video, that proof of concept video that they came out with afterwards too, and I'm just like, I wish. But anyway, what are you gonna do? I get Death Stranding. I'm sure there's amazing moments in that. We get the Bionic Woman.
I know.
In there, so I'm happy.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that, I was just thinking of Norman Reedus, and then for some reason that led me, I wish no connection at all to. The Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Norman
Reedus, Infinite Earths.
Yeah, I know. You can see the connection, right? Did you see the picture of Brandon Routh in the Kingdom? Routh, sorry, I'm losing my speech.
Yeah, with the little gray on the sides and the cool.
Yeah, and he's got the Kingdom Come outfit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah, I just saw the still. I didn't read anything about it, but yeah, I mean, so I actually didn't. I know that they were doing Kingdom Come, but is it something separate, or is it something that they're doing within like Flash or Arrow or Supergirl or?
Well, this is like in the Crisis, so it happens. They're basically doing Crisis on Infinite Earths,
right? But is it a separate show? Like, is it like, or is it attached?
No, it's attached. Like it's running through, like what they always do, where they run all five.
Right.
It runs through all five shows. Yeah. So
gotcha.
One episode. I think it starts in Arrow, and then it finishes. I forget where it finishes in, but it's going to be five episodes. I don't know if Black Lightning is it running through there. I don't even know. But because I'm so out of that world. Like I haven't watched.
I know.
I stopped anymore
even before Black Arrow started. So I'm really behind.
Yeah.
But I
so
mean,
I need
I'll
to,
buy
I need
for
to
this,
watch.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean the amount of people they got Tom Welling, they got what's her name,
Erica Durant,
Lois Lane, and obviously they're not getting Chloe. I can't see her making bail to
poor Chloe.
And then I know this is the craziest situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then
poor Chloe,
so
the character, not the girl.
not her. Yeah.
But
it'll be. They've got me with this, so you know. Let's see if they keep me after this. You know,
oh, that's cool.
But,
speaking of TV, I actually did get to go to an event about 2 weeks ago that was a show called The Buffy Hour, which was more than an hour, but included a lot of different performances from comedians, from burlesque dancers, from drag performers, from musicians. That was super fun in Atlanta, and it was super fun because you could tell that, I won't say 100% of the people there, but 75% of the performers there were super into Buffy and were definitely approaching it with all of their heart. They basically had it split up to where each performer had to kind of cover one season of the show, and then there were also a couple musical acts in between that didn't have specific seasons that they were covering. But it was great. Like, there were so many performances that were so good and so hilarious. And then there were a couple performances that you could just totally tell had no idea what they were doing there what was going on. And they were just like, I'm here to sing a number. And like, there was somebody who sang, whatever that Spike song was from the musical episode, that's exactly it. Rest in Peace. Which was hilarious because it is the most recognizable song from that era. Like, I don't even own that soundtrack, but I remember that song. And it felt like it was the second time they'd ever sung it because they kept trying to get the audience to sing along. They kept being like, yeah, you know it, sing it. But then they would be like mumbling the words and be like, and then the inflection would be like, really off on like the biggest moments where it's like, if I had a heart, it would break my chest. You know, he was not doing that.
Yeah.
He was very much like, it would break my chest.
like he's like Broadway or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was just that he had listened to the song on the way there. And
especially since, I mean, no offense to James Marsters, but it's not like he's the greatest singer in the world. So it's
you
gotta do it like punk, like the way he does it, that's funny that someone would mess that song up. Yeah.
Yes, and one of the girls, the other one that was really funny, that I do think they liked Buffy, but their comedy wasn't landing. This person dressed up like Buffy and then was doing like a Comedy Central roast, but they were doing a roast of Dawn, the sister, and all of the jokes were just not landing very well. But it was the most hilarious part was at the end when they brought Dawn out. She brought Dawn out. And it was just a chair with a sack of potatoes and Dawn's picture stapled on the front of it. it was so like people were laughing, but you could so tell that everybody was just like, oh, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, why Why are they so down on Dawn? Like, what's that all about?
Oh,
wow.
Well, because she was so annoying. She was basically the Will Wheaton of,
Buffy. Yeah,
yeah. Space Wesley.
But the burlesque dancers were great. There was this whole like action scene between like Buffy and Spike when they were having their moments of like, oh, we're having sexy time, but I also am fighting you. And like, oh, it was so much fun. So highly recommend, not that they're going to do this performance anymore. This was put on by Wussy Mag. But anybody who's in any town where you can go to these kind of grassroots type of performances where it's such a mixed bag of like really great performances and really questionable ones, it's just, I mean, always a good time and usually not a lot of money to get in. Like, I know this thing was maybe $12, you know, it's nothing.
That's
support
cool.
your local art scene.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't even know they probably out here they've got the Jersey Shore version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't think I get the Buffy one.
Yeah. So. I know, I was lucky on that one. Apparently the one before was Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen themed. And the next I don't know, I might make a trip out for this one too. The next one is Golden Girls themed, and I'm like, you know, I really wanna see Drag B. Arthur. I really do. I do. I wanna see that.
That's funny. Yeah, that's when you have to call Lacey, because that's her show of choice. Well, actually, they're both Josh Whedon shows, aren't they? Wasn't he involved in that show, too?
Was he?
Yeah, from what I understand.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Or his father. No, that's right. It was his father. His father was the writer.
I was
going
to say, is he old enough to be involved in that?
I knew, I know, right? I bet, can I be honest and say, I've never seen one episode of that show. I just,
that's not even on, strange.
Yeah, it's not even on purpose. It's just never. I don't know. The timing was never really there, or it's never on, or you know.
It might be because when I was like, story time. When I was one, my parents got divorced, so my mom took my brother and I, and we lived with my grandparents. So it might be because we lived and grew up with my grandparents and my mom that was always on. But like, yeah, I've seen practically every episode, if not every episode, just from my childhood.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there's certain shows that people who spent a lot of time at their grandparents' house, it's like, well, Matlock's on. I got to check that out.
It was that, and it was Young and the Restless. Lots of Golden Girls, lots of Young and the Restless. But I came by Magnum P.I. and Remington Steele all on my own. I don't know why.
Oh, there you go.
That was after we had moved out, and I still was all about it.
Nice. Well, on the Magnum P.I. note, I know maybe the Moonlight. Let's go through all of 80s television. That's funny, working our way backwards.
Yeah.
Well, on that lovely note, I think we've smashed every cut there is tonight's episode.
That happens when you don't talk for a while.
I know, we had to make up for some lost time. Mm-hmm. So for Smash Cuts, I think we'll adjourn before I become Tony and fully fall asleep.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
We love you, Tone.
Yeah.